What I'd like to talk about today is our thoughts. Our thoughts can be it can either be our best friend or our worst enemy, and it all has to do with what we do with them. I'd say pretty much everything we do in life, we don't really do anything without thinking. It might seem like we're doing something subconsciously, but when we do that, it's because we've thought about doing something, we've done it so many times that it feels like we can just do it with our eyes closed and pretty much asleep. But everything we do comes from something we think about. And whether it's good or bad, we've thought about it before we do it. There's a few verses in Genesis that kind of tell us where this all started with the... we have small battles in our head every day, but it's a war that we're fighting our whole life. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now I'm not sure how much they knew before this, but we know that after this happened, they had the knowledge of good and evil. And all their children had it, and everyone since them has had it. And there's been a lot of times in my life when I'm in that same situation where I'll be thinking something, and it's not like where Eve, where the devil came to her in the form of a serpent and talked to her. But it'll be just a thought that comes into my head where I think, you know, I can do this and get away with it, and I'll do the same thing the devil did. I'll just reason it out and say, you know, it might, you know, if I word it this certain way, then it's not wrong. But when we do that, in verse 8 it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That's what happens in our... It's not a physical hiding ourselves from God like this, but when we make that choice to do what we know is wrong, then we're hiding ourselves from the presence of God. We're separating ourselves from God. So when we have a thought that... I've thought of this before, that if we just act on every thought that we have, our life is... it probably won't last very long. Because, you know, if I'm driving and I think, you know, what would happen if I drive through this ditch and see how far I can get in a field, or if there's a vehicle coming and I think, you know, if I would go in the other lane, you know, what would they do? Would they go around me, or would I have to go in the other ditch? Now, if we take those thoughts and we act on them and do them, there's a good chance that we'll hurt ourselves and others, or we won't last very long. We'll be dead pretty soon. But then there's a lot of other things that we think that we can do this and get away with it. And we can get away with it for a while, but it won't last forever. Because just like Adam and Eve, it hurt their relationship with God, and they hid themselves from God because of what they had done. Every time a thought comes into our head, we need to either decide to dwell on it and think about it and to let it live there, or to put it out. And if we're nurturing the thoughts that come from God, then our life will show that. Our lives will be in line with His will, and it'll be evident to people around us that we're following His will. And the same is true if we don't do that. People can see who we're following just by how we walk and how we act. And if we let wrong thoughts go, and if we think about them and try to reason things out, then that's what our life is going to end up like. We'll always be trying to get away with things, and eventually it gets to the point where we don't even think about it. That's just how we are. And there's a few verses in Romans I like to look at. Romans 12 and verses 2 and 3. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Before we come to God, and even after we give our lives to God, we're always going to want to conform to this world, no matter what situation we're in. Or, I mean, sometimes it'll be harder than others. But if we aren't transformed by the renewing of our minds, that's going to be the biggest thing that drives what we do. But when we give our lives to God and our minds are renewed by His, I'd say that one of the biggest ways that our minds can be renewed is by reading His Word. Because there's a lot of things that are going on, and things we see. And if we just go off what we know, what we know to be right and wrong, but we don't read God's Word, then our outlook on things will be skewed, and we won't act according to His will. But when we're transformed by that, when our mind is renewed, the drive to be conformed to this world won't be as strong. And the more that we resist that, the less we'll give into it. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 5. That's the wrong verse. Anyway, the verse that I was thinking of is where we maybe it's 1 Corinthians it's not that either. Anyway, it's the verse that tells us to take our thoughts captive. I have a tendency to just to reason things out and try to think about things how the way that I see them. And I can pretty much come up with a reason why what I'm doing is right, and why the way someone else is doing something is wrong. But we need to take those thoughts captive when we justify our actions. The verse that I read earlier, it says to think of ourselves less than others, to give others the benefit of the doubt. And when we realize that we're not as, I think it's impossible to have a totally unbiased opinion or view of anything else, because everything that we experience in life, we see it from our perspective. So we're going to do that to some degree, but we can still think less of ourselves and think more of others. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 I'd like to look at. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And our heart is where, it's actually our mind, but a lot of people's, it's just a figure of speech, where our heart is what controls us. But the things that we think, issues of life, there's a lot of things that fall into that category. And one of those things is physical things, you know, different decisions we make. They can have a bad effect on our physical life, but it's also our mental and our spiritual life too, that if we don't keep our heart and we let it go to places where it shouldn't, it's going to have a bad effect on us. But then on the other side, if our heart is fixed on God, and that's where our focus is, then it's going to have a good effect on our life and on others around us. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." I'd say we've probably all seen or know of people that are delusional, where they think something about themselves or something they think they can do, and they think about it so much that they start believing it, even if it's totally off base or unrealistic. But that's the same way with our minds. If we think about something enough, we're going to believe it. I mean, it's all depends what we're thinking about or how we're thinking about it. But if we can convince ourselves that something's true, even when it's not. And the devil will put thoughts in our minds that if we let them stay there, we'll start believing them. And then when we do that, it makes it really hard to trust God and to believe Him, because what we're thinking about is totally contrary to His word. Another verse that's Matthew 21 and verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now this is the same way. It's when we ask God for something, if we don't believe that it's going to happen, and I mean, depending on what it is, God has, we can't understand all the ways God works, but what this verse said is if we ask in prayer and we believe, we will receive. It might not be the way we pictured it or the way we want it, but if we have faith that God will answer our prayer, He will. In Matthew 15 and verse 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. There's a lot of things that we can put into our minds. We can listen to things and talk to people and get all kinds of ideas. But what we are is going to come out. And that's what defiles us. We can believe a lot of things and deceive people, but it's eventually gonna come out who we are. And I have a verse in Colossians 3, a few verses. Starting in verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore ye members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Now, this is talking to people that are following God. But all these things that he's saying here are things that we need to keep doing. Because if we don't, in verse 5, all the things that he tells us to put off, if we put them off one time and then just kind of relax and don't think about it anymore, they're gonna start coming back. And along with that, we need to put on. Now, it's in verse 8, there's more things that we need to put off. But then we need to put on the armor of God and replace those things with things of God. Because if we don't, we can put all those things out of our life, but then they're going to come back a lot worse than what they were. And the same goes for our thoughts. If we have, you know, if we're used to having a wrong thought pattern, and we try to change it, so we stop thinking about those things that we were, but we don't replace it with something good, it won't change anything. Another verse in Romans 1 and verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now there's a lot of people like this that had knowledge of God, but they didn't retain it, or that they were deceived and they just totally walked away from God, and they've been given over to a reprobate mind, like things that they used to do and believe, they turn their back on them and they're just serving the devil. And that's what can happen to us if we can do that too. If we don't, verse 28 says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. There's a lot of people that want to make explanations for things and reasons why God doesn't exist. And this is what happens to them. God basically turns their mind over to the devil and they'll believe all these things. And in verse 32 it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It seems hard to me that someone can realize that. They can know what the judgment of God is, but they don't care. But that can be one of the consequences of not controlling your thoughts, is that you still have knowledge of God, and you know what your judgment will be, but you just have pleasure in doing evil. Now I have one more verse in Ephesians. If we're unsure what to think about, or if something comes into our mind and we're not sure if it's a good thought or not, if we look at this verse, it'll tell us. If it falls into this category, then we'll know whether or not it's of God, or if it's something that the devil's trying to tell us. Actually, it's in Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So when we have questions or we're not sure if we're doing it right, if we go to that verse and our thoughts are any of those things that are mentioned there, then we can know that's what God wants us to be thinking. And if it's anything outside of that, then we need to change how we're thinking and turn to God.